Welcome to Hearts for the Lost, the podcast, where we exist to excite, educate, equip born-again believers to biblically share their faith wherever God has placed them. This podcast is a ministry of Hearts for the Lost and a part of the Bar Podcast Network. For more content or to request information about hosting an event, please visit heartsforthelost.com. Now to your host, Jimmy De Los Santos and Brian Nind.
Welcome back to another episode of Hearts for the Lost, the podcast. This is Jimmy De Los Santos from Dallas, Texas. I'm with my man,
Brian Nind, Indianapolis, Indiana. What is up, Jimmy? How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's been, I feel like it's been a while since me and you got a chance to talk, man.
I agree.
So, I'm trying to think of the next time I would be in the Indianapolis area. When is that going to be, Brian?
Hopefully in April. April 27th, we got that event in Indy, south side of Indy. Yeah.
I need to start making the.
I'm going to see you in Tennessee. I'll see you, in February. Tennessee.
But it's different when I come to your house, man, because, all you listeners out there, if you've never been to a Brian Nind house, man, the hospitality in that home is off the chain, man. It is great. I kind of miss being there and just hanging out with Brian and Jane
Let's give due credit. It is Jane Nind that is the hospitality queen.
I didn't want to take anything away, but yeah, it is true. When Jane is there, it is really special. Bro, tell her that I miss her, and that, you know, eventually I get up there again. I'll get to spend time in what is that, below the deck apartment kind of thing? It is super special down there.
The De Los Santos suite.
Yeah. So I think one of the styles that we're going to talk about today actually hits on that type of thing right there. But we'll talk about it when we get there. I think everybody knows, if they've been listening to Hearts for the Lost, that this is going to be a part two of what we started the last time we had an episode. But you got a few things you want to get off your chest before we get there.
Just a lot of great things going on, man. We got obviously Tennessee coming up here. I've got also a bunch of evangelists coming in to Indiana for the NBA All-Star Game weekend. We're going to have 3 days of evangelism, Friday night, afternoon, evening. We're going to have all day Saturday and night. And then Sunday, we're all going to go to my church, and then we're going to head out downtown for the tip-offs like at 8 p.m. So we'll hang out at Fan Fest and preach and, you know, tracks and all that good stuff. So praying for really good weather because it's been kind of nasty lately. But so we got the NBA All-Star Game. We got that. And then, bro, I really want something really exciting this last weekend. I had four other brothers, Brother Heath, you know Heath, Tommy, Rick, and Johnny Dearman, dear brothers of mine from Cornerstone Bible Church, part of our evangelism ministry. We got the opportunity to go into Pendleton Maximum Security Prison and go through kind of training to be volunteers. They just opened up the prison for volunteers. They haven't been open since COVID, you know, and they've been just wanting people to come in, and what a better opportunity to hit folks, right? I've done a little prison ministry in the past, but man, it just so opened my eyes for the need for good theology and good gospel preaching and talking and relationship building inside those walls. I mean, we went in there, bro, and there were 60 people that were in this Q&A with the community service officer. The warden was there. One of the two chaplains were there. Some of the other folks were there. And there were 60 people all in kind of, I mean, you envision like 10 tables of six, let's say, all kind of in groups. So they thought, well, what a great way. Why don't one of your leaders stand up and tell us who's here, right? So kind of go around. We kind of go first. Hey, Brian and I, we're with Cornerstone Bible Church. We'd love to just come in and teach some Bible or do a chapel or something, but we'd just love to connect on a Christian basis with the folk. We sit down on our left. I kid you not. Hi, my name's John Smith. I'm with the Jehovah Witness Freedom Hall, whatever they call it. So they had a Jehovah Witness table. What was it?
Kingdom Hall.
Kingdom Hall. Thank you. It ain't very free. So then there was Billy back in the back. He said, yeah, I'm from the Pentecostal church of some city somewhere else. And then we had a table in front. We believe in spirituality, not so much religion, and we're, you know, the mystical stuff. And man, it was just a plethora of heretical mess all in there. And I'm like, man, we as Reformed biblical believers need to go penetrate that area in a little Matthew 25. So five of us got trained up and equipped to go in to the prison. So that's going to be another avenue that our church is going to build up some men and train them up to go in. So that was real, real exciting, man. So I just, our listeners, man, if you do have prison or jail incarcerated folks, man, just what an opportunity to serve, to go in and proclaim the gospel. But man, they're getting a lot of mess sent in there theologically. So just our camp needs to do a little bit better job going in there, and we're gonna give it a shot. So I'll keep reporting back what we're gonna do and how we're gonna do it. It's gonna be kind of a slow roll getting built up, but we're real excited, man. Pendleton Maxwell. So if you guys could pray for us, that'd be awesome. Just again, to go in and make connections, get relationships with these guys, and just show them the good news of Jesus Christ, and that there is a way for freedom. Might not be in this lifetime if they've got a life sentence, but man, the eternal life and what's coming is so much more important. So, yeah, it was awesome, bro.
We just want to ask a clarifying question. So what you went to was a class to be like certified or registered
to be trained. So what they send you through a class. Well, you got to learn what trafficking is, right? So you can't bring anything in or you can't take anything out. So there, nothing can come in. You got to learn about borders, right? Relational issues and sexual touching and making sure that you can't tell them personal stuff. Just a lot of these little rules that you just, because they will try, some will try to manipulate you and some will try to get messages to the outside. And you are just there for that moment and preaching or proclaiming or whatever you're there to do for that person or that group of guys in a certain, if it's a classroom environment or a one-on-one. But they had people there, man, that was just teaching, that wanted to teach them computer skills or money skills, whatever. So there's a whole host of volunteer opportunities. We were there specifically for the chapel to do a Christian concert, hopefully in the near future. They were very open to that. And then really, bro, what I saw, the staff was talking about like their day-to-day life a little bit and how hard that job is. I just looked at my brothers and I wrote down on a piece of paper, we need to minister to the staff, not just going there to proclaim the gospel to the prisoners, but somehow with some biblical counseling or some help, how could we help minister to the warden, to the jailers, to the people that work in the kitchen, you know, all the people that have to go into that environment and put up with what they put up with sometimes. There's an opportunity to minister to the staff as well. So we're bringing all that data back. We're going to put together some proposals for them. When you get some guys, I talked to maybe 10 or 15 guys on Sunday because we went Saturday, and man, I got everyone. Hey, I want to be involved. Let me know what we can do. Just a lot of hand raises that we don't normally get as evangelists, right? Usually we get the pat on the back. Go get them, guy. Well, I'll be praying for you. But this one had a lot of folks that said, hey, I'd like to get involved in that. So it was cool, man. I've done some prison ministry in the past. I cut my teeth early on in the youth prison. I did a little Kairos prison ministry, which is a little ecumenical. I wouldn't do it now. I did it then. We can talk about that later. But I did get that did get me into the prison the first time and really see that God just moves, even through that crooked stick, can move and really touch these prisoners in a place where it's dark, man, very dark, and they don't have much light in there. So we bring in, you know, the love of God and Jesus Christ, and man, it's a game changer. But they've got Muslims in there, you know, Morrists in there, Jehovah Witnesses in. I mean, a lot of different things in there. You know, Joel Osteenites in there, Joyce Meyerites in there. I mean, you got it all. But to have a good Reformed theological teaching, preaching, is not very common in the incarceration world. So, we're real excited. We're even hoping to get our pastor's sermons fed in there on Facebook maybe or something like that electronically every Sunday. That might be a possibility as well. So we're just trying to seek out every avenue possible. So green light, we are now, five of us are certified to go in and we passed the training and we're ready to go, man. So just prayers, please. Wow. Just another avenue and opportunity for evangelism ministry.
Definitely will keep you in prayer and a bit of encouragement as well. I sat in, you know, the Liberty County Jail where we sat down to do a worship service, and an old man brought us Bibles. And I'm letting you know, I was in orange jumpsuit at that time, so I was the other side of the ministry. and that man handed out these Bibles, but then when we all sat down, there was a hymn book sitting on everybody's little desk, little student desks, and he asked us to open up to whatever page. I forget what page it was, but first thing he had us do is sing Amazing Grace, right? And I'm gonna tell you, man, 40 men in orange jumpsuits singing Amazing Grace, brother, I don't go in for all the emotionalism, but it is definitely hard to not just weep when you are in an orange jumpsuit surrounded by 40 guys who are singing out Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm telling you, that was an experience I'll never forget. And I was really thankful for that old man that walked in there and with all those Bibles, wanting to do some ministry to some.
So perfect example, bro. That Matthew 25, right? You didn't come visit me. My brother's in prison. We don't know who are in there or elect or who we need to preach to or proclaim to. So look at you, bro. You were there. Now look at you, right? Where are you at? Right. Yeah. We're sitting here talking on a Christian podcast. You heavy duty in your church member. So yeah, it's a definite ministry field that is lacking good Reformed theological content.
You got me hyped up, Brian. I'm starting looking around here, man. Maybe in the Dallas area, there's some I can. I've never gone in as on this side, but man, that sounds like something I'd love to do. Right, I'd love to go in there and talk to some guys. You know, I've been reading a book by Owen Strand called The War on Men. Right. And I just think that, you know, with being able to go into a prison ministry and talk to a bunch of men about the way we're supposed to be men, the way God intended for us to be men, you know, and I think that it would be an impact just knowing, you know, what God intended, and that none of this that we can do as men comes without our dependence upon Him. Right. We are dependent on God. It is God that pulls us through. And I've mentioned this recently to somebody that I was talking to. You know, I don't know if I can do that. I said, man, it wasn't David against Goliath, bro. It was God against Goliath just through David. Right. It was the Holy Spirit with David. You know, David relied on God to pull him through. He knew God had helped him with the bear and with the lion. And, you know, God was going to help him with Goliath. Same kind of thing. I think that when we go into some type of ministry, even evangelism, right. It is not me; it is God with me, right? And the one thing that I know to say about this is that I trust God implicitly with the outcome when we go out to evangelize. And if I have a bad night, and I had a bad night not long ago out there, I think I mentioned it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was asked at the end of the night, so, you know, what do you have to say about tonight? Didn't go very well. And I said, it was always going to go the way it was supposed to go because God is sovereign, right? He is in control of all things. And that's kind of the way it is sometimes. And especially in this type of ministry where you are trying to reach the lost because we love people, man, because we love people. And that's the thing, Brian, I listen to you say that. And it really gets me because, man, what kind of love is this that a man would walk into a prison to share good news? Mm. Right. I mean, you got to say it. And I'm giving God glory in my brother, Brian, in the fact that he would take on something like this, because that's a dangerous place to walk into. And you got to watch what you're going to say. You got to be careful with what you're doing. These are hardened men, you know, and I, you know, you've seen it, right? We've seen it. I've been on that side too. And I know you got to be careful with what you say, even as an inmate, right. You're watching, you're being careful, you're trying, you just want to survive the thing. Right. Yeah. And so to go into an environment like that is commendable because you want to do for God, you know, what He's already done for you and brought you out of the chains of bondage. Right. And like you said,
and never forget, bro, I never forget. I could have easily been in there. I just didn't get caught. Right. I mean, there's over my lifetime, I can look back. There were things I did in my life that could have got caught, and they just got caught, man. And They're in there for a reason. I don't care why they're there. But and again, like you said, you just want to be real, right? Because they see through phony. Don't put up a fake. Just be you. Be you. But be real. And don't get con, right? Don't. They're gonna try to work you a little bit. Not all of them, but they're gonna try to see what they can get away with, just like kids sometimes. But man, just be real. Stick to your guards and really, really the big thing is just listen, right? Just because no one really, or if you do know their name, call them by their name, because they're all a number in there. Call them by their name. Just listen. Don't let them talk about their story of what happened. I don't mean like that, but just ask some questions and just listen and just love them as you know, image bearers of God, and just made some massive wrong decisions. But yeah, you never know who. I've heard amazing stories of, I think, Jeffrey Dahmer, for example, Son of Sam, some of these really high profile have made professions in repentance and faith in incarceration. So God is amazing, and we never know who he's going to save. And our job is just, again, Matthew 25, did you visit me, right? Did you visit me when I was sick? Did you visit me in prison? And it does say my brothers. We don't know who my brothers are in there, but just like evangelism, we, you know, it'd be really easy if we had a big E or a yellow stripe on them, right? As Spurgeon said, but we don't. So we witness to them all and go love on them.
Yeah. So
maybe we have an episode on someday, prison ministry. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's get into the episode today. Let's get to our three remaining evangelistic styles. Happened on this podcast episode and didn't hear our disclaimer in the first episode that we did, the first half of this six personality styles of the evangelistic styles that we're talking about. We put a little disclaimer out there saying, hey, this isn't meant to say, hey, here's your personality type and this is what you're cut out to do. I really have started looking at this more of like, I think it's within all of us to be some of these at different times, right? And I wouldn't pigeonhole and say you can only ever be the interpersonal evangelistic style, which is the first style we're going to talk about today. And this one says, how do you personally relate to the following? Number one, I'm a people person who places a high value on friendship. Number two, people have commented about my ability for developing deep friendships. Three, I would rather delve into personal life issues than abstract theoretical ideas. Number four, I prefer discussing a person's life before getting into the details of their beliefs and opinions. Five, I enjoy long talks with friends, and it doesn't matter much where we're going or where we are or where we're going. And number six, people generally consider me to be an interactive, sensitive, and caring kind of person. If that sounds like you, you have the interpersonal style. And, when I was reading this description, right, Brian, I thought there are some people that I'm like that with, and I'm not all the time. When I'm on the streets, on the bridge, I don't think I have time to be in this deep personal, like, and you know, if somebody wants to talk deep with me out on the bridge, I want to make room for that. But I will generally say, let me get your number. Right. Let me, we can do that at a coffee shop. Right. If I'm on the bridge, I'm going to normally want to do, you know, street ministry, evangelism. I want to get the gospel to some people. And then if I find some friendships, which I'm hoping that they all see me as a friend, right, and that they understand that I love them enough that they are my friends. They're my brothers. They're my, you know, they're people that I care about enough to share the gospel with. So what do you think about the interpersonal style there, Brian?
I think it's great. I think it can be taken obviously too far one side, and can also be taken too far the other side. And like, okay, Brian, you're living in the middle. I am in this. So the interpersonal too far to the one side, right? You got to be a friend first. I got to be friends with them for years before I talk to important stuff. That I need to become deeper, better, longer friends. And then you got the other side, which says I can just truth, Adam, and not worry about any kind of friendship at all. Now, I'm not saying we cave or we code it. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't hear that. But I think there can be in the middle of, and Jimmy, I've seen you do it. I do it pretty we can become friendly with someone really quickly, right? And one of the things I've incorporated, and I think you do it as well, if I see a sports hat, team, logo, shirt, area, vacation, whatever, I can make a comment on somebody's shirt, man. They light up. They want to talk about it. I made a quick little friendship right there, caring about something they felt important enough to buy and wear that day out in public, right? So it's something, whether it be, again, at a Colts game, I don't care what team it is. Colts playing the Bengals, someone might have a Rams on. I can talk Rams football. They might have a lake hat, and I want to talk about the lake, or do you have a boat? And just, man, you can feed off just about anything people wear, but you can be friendly real quick just saying, hey, how you doing? Where you from? You born and raised around this place? And man, I got a conversation going. We can be friendly real quick, real quick. And then on the other hand, some of the hardest conversations I have are people I've had friendships with for years before I came to faith. And then maybe I didn't see him or I didn't do it early on. It's like, now it's even harder. If this is so important to you, why is it taking you 5 years or 4 years to tell me? Because we don't know when someone's time's going to end. So I think the interpersonal style is yes, being friendly and being with gentleness and respect, I think is always a good thing to get conversations going. And I mean, the gospel is offensive enough. You don't need to be a jerk. So we just stay firm, proclaim the gospel. We stay firm and caring about people, where they're coming from, and guiding that conversation where we want to go downstream, like we talk about. So that's kind of where I got. What help me back that up a little bit, buddy. What do you got?
No, I see what you're saying. I even the description here in the article that we're reading, there's a place here. Many are proponents of what is known as friendship evangelism. And this is one of those things. I think there's a difference. I think you can use the interpersonal style. I believe, like you do, Brian, don't wait too long to share the gospel with somebody. At some point, it becomes an awkward conversation when, you know, again, I always say this, he that wins souls is wise. You're going to make friends at work. The one thing I would say about, like, okay, let me just hit this coworker thing, right? I have friends at work. Most of my friends at work know I'm a Christian because I don't hide my Christianity, right? Now, do I openly preach the gospel at work? If God leads me to it, I'm going to do it, right? But for the most part, I'm going to try to say, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee, right? And then I can sit and do this interpersonal style with him because I've made friends with them at work, and I can sit at a coffee shop and listen. I think that's the big thing with the interpersonal style, is that you can and you should be a person that actually listens to what the person is saying. If you're out there, there's probably a reason that you went out to have coffee with them. They had questions. Well, ask clarifying questions. Ask, you know, what did you really want to know about this? What did you want to understand about it? And then, you know, when the door turns, you can take that conversation over to the place where you can take them through the law and through the gospel, to where they understand, you know, this is an important thing to be in Christ. You know, cause sometimes, and I would just say this, I believe work is a good example. It's where I spend a lot of my time, yeah. And I'm very friendly with the people that I work with. Right. And I find that people, well, they find me approachable, right? And that's, I think, the interpersonal style. They find you. You're a friendly guy. You're someone they can talk to. They will come by your desk and see how you're doing, and they, you know, they give you the time of day, right? And you are open to listening to what they have to say. I think that bleeds into this, and I think the interpersonal style for some people, as a matter of fact, the example that they give here in the description comes out of Luke 5:29. When he talks about Levi leaving the tax booth, the tax collector booth, and he had a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. So he kind of threw a party and was hospitable to all these people. Come to my home, and you know, come meet Jesus, and that's the same kind of thing we want to do. And I think hospitality has to do. I mentioned the hospitality at Brian's house. It is a place where we can go and talk. Right. And we just, you know, we sit and just talk around the coffee table. That's the interpersonal style. And I think it can be beneficial. I do believe in a quicker approach when it comes to the gospel. I want to share the gospel early on, but it doesn't mean that that's the end of, by the way, Brian, for as long as I've been a Christian, I've been talking theology with people. And my friendships with my Christian brothers and sisters only grows with the questions that we have about our faith, man. It's infinite, the number of things that we can end up talking about when it relates to Christ. You would think, oh, that's so boring. It's just about Jesus. There are so many aspects of our faith that we can end up talking about that I just go on for hours. But I get a good Christian conversation going and I talk for hours. Me and you... If you're listening to Hearts for the Lost, you already know this about me and Brian, but we can go on for a while because we love Jesus. And that's the thing, right? And it's the same kind of thing. Jesus, the Bible describes Jesus as being a friend of sinners. And a friend listens to his friends, right? And that's what we want to be, friends to sinners. And that's the only way they'll see us, with the interpersonal style.
And I think the connection piece, and more importantly than you backing me up, let me back it up with scripture. So 1 Corinthians 9 is what I was thinking of, and I found it after you started talking. Let me start in verse 19. I'm going to read it. So for, and it's Paul saying, "For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." So when I'm like making a quick connection at a game or whatever, you know, if they're wearing a Rams hat, I'm going to say, "Hey, you from LA? I'm from LA." And maybe make a quick connection or find something to make a connection. I'm not saying jump in the sin boat with them, right? That's not what that verse is saying, but we can connect with them at some bit. And I've said this on the show a lot. And Jimmy, I used it just the other day when I'm training somebody. You know, when we go to the mall, or when we used to go to the mall before Amazon, right? You want to go to the food court, you get on that directory. Well, the next thing you need to find is that red dot that says you are here in order to navigate that path. So we want to get to the gospel, but I want to find out where that person is, right? So I got to kind of connect with them on whatever level they've given me to try to connect, whether it be a picture on their wall if I'm in their office, whether it be a conversation or something on their shirt or a hat or whatever, or something they say. But I think it, you can instantly kind of have this interpersonal style and be, you know, people like talking about themselves. I mean, check out social media. They don't ask a lot of questions on social media. It's usually they're talking. Well, people like to talk about themselves and they talk about things they're interested in. So, hey, ask them questions about what they're interested in, kind of get in their boat of agreeing with some of the things, maybe to have a connection. And then now you've got your friendship evangelism in 5 to 10 minutes, not 5 to 10 years. So I think Paul's pretty clear there. But again, do it all for the sake of the gospel, to share it with them in its blessings. So the interpersonal, I think, is important. Again, connecting with someone at their level, again, that whole grace and truth that Jesus talks about in John 1. You know, the grace is loving someone where they are. Truth is loving them enough not to let them stay there. But got to find out where they are, connect with them, and then share the gospel and try to let the Spirit move.
That's good. That's good. And I think that one of the, so I want to read the blind spot of this.
Good.
The blind spot for the interpersonal style says, sometimes you put the friendship over the gospel instead of the gospel over the friendship. As a result, you never get around to sharing the gospel because you're afraid to damage the friendship, when in reality, the friendship is not really at risk much at all, right? So here's where I think that that's important, because a true friend is going to say hard things to his friend. There's a proverb that says the kisses of an enemy, are they're not as much as the blows that come from a friend, right? Those are more loving, right? If I tell you hard things, it's because I love you. And I think that valuing your friendship over the truth is a problem. You don't want to lose the friendship, but you need to be honest with your with your brothers and sisters. Listen, and I think let's get a good example. I don't know if you know the story of Rosaria Butterfield, but Rosaria Butterfield was a professor, very intellectual, who was a practicing lesbian, was living with a woman, right? And she had her views, and she said that she would get all this mail, some that would agree with her and some that wouldn't. She had a love pile and a hate pile, right? Kind of like she would throw the ones that agreed with her on a love pile, throw the ones that disagreed with her over on the hate pile. And she got a letter from a pastor that she didn't know which pile to throw it in. She read it, and it like he didn't agree with her, but at the same time he didn't hate her, and she couldn't throw it in the hate pile. She didn't know what to do with it, right? But she read it, and she finally reached out to him, started having dinner with him and his wife, right? And shared the gospel with her. She came to understand the truth. She is now married to a Presbyterian pastor. Right. This was an amazing story to me, because the interpersonal friendship that that pastor had with this lesbian woman, right, is something a lot of people wouldn't do. But no, he became friends with her, even though he didn't agree with her lifestyle. And it's something that we should do as Christians. As Christians, we should be open to having friendships with people that may be at odds with our Christianity. I don't want to sit here and say I would never be your friend if you're living a lifestyle that I disagree with. But I want to be honest with you. I'm gonna speak to it when you ask me questions. I'm gonna say, well, I don't agree with your lifestyle. I believe that it's against God. It's a rebellious thing. But I will also tell you that most of the world is rebellious in that manner. That most of the world treats self as deity, as the God that they want to serve, right? Little g. There is no such thing as the big G, right? This is the idol that they want to serve, is self. What makes me happy? What makes me tick? And Christianity calls you to die to self and live to Christ, right? And so ultimately, I think that those hard truths are really what make a friendship stronger. And sometimes that hard truth that you tell someone, while it may break the friendship, I think eventually that friend will know, well, you know what, he always had, you know, a love for me, that he would be able to tell me the truth. And it was just too hard for me to agree with it, right? And that's okay. I think that's okay. That's a good way to end that type of friendship, if that's the end of it, right? But I will say, I think that that person will still hold you in high esteem for being true to your faith, true to what you believe, true to your convictions. And so ultimately, your faith in Christ should be above that. The gospel should be above your friendship. You should be able to risk your friendship for truth. And that's good. I think the interpersonal, I love the blind spot that they give us here, because it really is important. And maybe I just want to take a sidestep to people that might be listening that have been fostering a friendship that they are afraid to ruin with talk of Christ, right? I want to encourage you, right, that your friend's still going to love you if he's loved you this long, because you've told him the truth. Again, these things are the saving of the soul. The soul care is far more important than anything you could do in this finite little lifetime, this little blip on the time continuum, right? I don't know what you want to call it, right? Like this in the view of all eternity, our lifetime is but a dot, if even a dot. And you don't have a lot of time here, right? So you want to lose that? Their eternity is far more important than the little time that you get to spend with them in this lifetime. Anything else you want to say before about the interpersonal
Yeah,
before?
a whole lot, because my flesh is more the I want to be liked kind of guy, so I'm really fighting through that. speaking truth. That's just working that thing out. I always say everybody needs a Nathan Prophet in their life, right? Someone that's going to say, hey, dude, you're the person in that story, right? You're the man in that story to tell true, hard truth that someone needs to hear. And then on that Butterfield story, one thing she did say that was interesting, that the homosexual lifestyle or kind of group or social dynamic, that's a better word, social dynamic that is attractive, that our camp doesn't have, they have a real sense of community. Like they do a lot of communal things together, like during the week, and do a lot of group dinners and group this, group that, where we in our camps tend to get in our own, you know, our man caves and our own back porches with high fences, and we go to church on Sundays, and not everyone, right? But we got a bad rap of not being social in that way. So her story is amazing. I'm glad you brought that up. But, you know, as far as that winning over truth, I'm with you, man. I think one thing we can do very early on with a friend or meeting someone, I've tried this before and it works, is, hey, man, give me your story real quick, where you grew up, anything happened in your life to now. Just kind of walk me through real quick your life from zero to whatever age you are now, and where you started, where you moved to, anything happened in your life. And then 99 out of 100 times they say, okay, what about you? Tell me about your life. Well, I can tell them about my early life. I tell them hitting bottom. Jesus Christ radically changed my life. I'm a born again believer. I love my church. I love my family. Love my work. Try to be the best I can be, and move on, and kind of get through that way. And man, that you talk about just opening the door, cracking the ice, and all you're doing is talking about what Christ has done in your life and where you are. Share the gospel in that way as well in that story. So there are multiple ways to do it, and people 9 times out of 10 will ask you back if you ask them, "Hey, where are you from?" Well, I'm from. I grew up in Speedway, Indiana. Where are you from? Right. It's just natural to ask back the question you were asked. So find out some way to, hey man, tell me your story just real quick. You know, just met, we're having dinner, having lunch, work lunch, whatever. Give me your story, man. I mean, tell me where you grew up. What's going on? And then most times I'll say, well, let me hear about yours. And boom, there you go. Here it comes. So just some tips and tricks to at least initiate that conversation, or at least help.
That's good. Well, let's move to the next. This is the fifth in the six evangelistic styles. This one's invitational evangelistic style. Let me read some of these descriptions. Number one, I enjoy adding or including new people in activities that I'm involved in. Number two, to be honest, I often watch for situations in which someone better qualified can explain concepts to my friends. Number three, it's not unusual for me to attend special events or concerts and bring along a car full of friends. Number four, I tend to watch for worthwhile events to which to bring people, such as enriching seminars, retreats, classes, or church services. Number five, I'm always looking for a good match between the needs and interests of my friends in various books, classes, and programs that they would enjoy or benefit from. Or at number six, a highlight of my week is when I can take a guest along with me to a helpful learning event, including church. So the invitational style. And, you know, what this brings to mind for me, Brian, is we have had events at Ecclesia where we had one called the Summer Bash, and we had like a little carnival thing that we did outside where it was a big event, invite some people over, invite the neighborhood, put out signs, put out flyers, bring people to this event. And I remember that when we did this, we decided to have an evangelism booth. There was all these different booths. People get different things. And then we had like a bounce house and this, that, and the other, and some different things for the kids, and the parents to just take the things around. We had quite a few people come through, you know. They saw the thing happening. It was open to the public, and just come and do this. But we had an evangelism booth where they would come over and get some tracts and maybe have a little talk with us about, you know. And so that's what this style brings to mind. And it makes me think of outreach. And I've participated in different types of outreach in different ways. I remember one opportunity that we had where I was invited to come help feed some homeless people. And got to talk to some homeless people. And, you know, I was serving the beans in the line as they went by. That was actually a kind of a supernatural event. The food we had, I did not think was going to feed all those people. And it was more than enough. And it was like, Jesus with the fishes and the
5,000.
loaves. But yeah, the five. I was just, it was to me, I was looking down the line. I was thinking, and I actually saw some people get seconds and thirds, right? And I thought, how did this food last this long, right? I just couldn't see it when we started. So it was kind of an amazing thing. But also, I've been to different types of things that, we've had booths at parades and things like that, and people coming by, come and see what we're doing at our booth here. And that's what this makes me think of. And so when I think of the invitational style, it's just, I think as a means to invite somebody to a thing that we're doing. So I might have the opportunity to talk to you guys about this or that. Right. That's what it seems like to me. They gave the example of the Samaritan woman that Jesus encountered at Jacob's well, because they, the Samaritans were, in the town. She came out to the well. When she realized who was she was speaking, she went back and to the village and come and see this man. I'm inviting you to come and see this man that told me everything about myself. And so this is the whole, when I think of that, as I'm reading what they have here, it's the whole come and see who Jesus is. I'm inviting you to come and take a look in here. I will say this, just as I'm reading through this and thinking about it, this is one of the things I do want to tell church congregations. It is not the pastor's job to multiply, right? It is not the pastor's job to multiply. The pastor's job is to teach and preach and exposit the word and to shepherd his people that are already sheep. It is the sheep that are supposed to multiply. And I say that because I don't want this to sound like your evangelism should just consist of you inviting people to church, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing to invite friends to church. And it'd be great if they showed up, but evangelism, the actual sharing of the gospel should be something that you get better at, that you can tell your friends about. So while I like the idea of just inviting friends to an outreach kind of thing, it's the idea that you would put that off on somebody else to share the good news with them. I'm not confident enough to be able to share the good news, and that's one of the things that I kind of have my reservation about the invitational style about. Right. What are your thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, no, I was going to go there as well. And again, this kind of fits under the testimony in part one, right? Because many Samaritans, this is 39, but in John 4, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, right? So there is a testimonial piece. I think of the lame man that was leaping. He went right in the test into the church and was leaping and all that. So there is a part of that. I think, again, we always say this, or at least I do, you do as well, to be good, to be fishers of men, right? Good fishermen have a tackle box. They have different bait for different situations. I think, let's say a work situation, like you talk about, Jimmy, you kind of leave it open. You have this one conversation at lunch with one person, but maybe there's two or three you just haven't had a chance to talk to yet, but you've got a men's event at your church. Maybe that's the opportunity. Hey, would you like to come to my church? We're having a men's event. I haven't had really a chance to talk to you yet. Invite them. Or maybe, again, having it as an arrow in your quiver, maybe you don't use it all the time as your only option and call it evangelism, although it is. Are you sharing the gospel to those who you can? But as another option, invite them to church or invite them to an event, whether it be a men's event or a women's event, if you're a lady listening to us, whatever. Anything at your church or anything, you feel, a Christian concert or something, Christmas. I remember when I was a avid evil, I was as far away from God as I ever wanted to be, back in the day. And somebody at my work invited, me to a church Christmas service. And I went to the Christmas service and the gospel seed was planted. And it took a while to germinate, but there was a gospel seed planted just by being invited to the church and hearing the gospel and seeing something a little bit different than what my life was working out to. So do we not ever know? Do we only lean on that? No. but I think it's a good place to fit in if you've maybe don't haven't had a chance with this person, or there could be an opportunity to invite them. But don't lean on that as your only, because you're right, Timmy. The pastor, elders, and deacons of our church, they do what they do very well. Man, once that bell rings and we hit the streets after church on Sunday, all the way till Sunday morning coming back, man, we should be out being my witness, as Jesus said, go be my witness and go make disciples, right? That should be our constant breath in, out, are we doing stuff to make disciples? Are we doing stuff to be his witness out in the world and inviting people and sharing the gospel and doing what we're called to do? So, yeah, man, I like it. We should be inviting folks to different things, but don't, I think one of the blind spots is, you know, passing the buck is what he called it, you know, just relying on, hey, I'm just going to print off a bunch of cards, invite them to church and let my Pastor Kirk or Pastor Henry at your place do their thing. No, man, we're called, commanded as followers of Christ to share the good news.
So. Yeah. You know, and I don't know, I'm thinking about this now. Recently, I've been having this conversation with someone I love, with someone I care about. There was a team leaders meeting that we had at Ecclesia where we discussed this, and somebody said, hey, if anybody ever asks, if a parent comes in, guest, you know, and asks, hey, can I speak to the youth minister? We're supposed to look at them and say, that's you. and we're going to put a mirror in the foyer of the church with the youth minister lettering at the bottom of it, so they can look at the mirror and know that they're supposed to, as parents, minister to their children. And the reason I bring that up is because as I'm talking to this person that I love and care about, you know, asking the questions, you know, what attracts you to the church that you're going to currently? And the answer is, well, you know, they got a youth program. They got a youth thing where I can send the kids over, and, you know. And my answer to that was simply this, and I'm bringing this up for a reason, Brian, is that if the kids are sitting with you in the church service, number one, they see you worshiping. They learn to worship watching their parents worship. Number two, they learn the music. They learn, you know, from everybody that's around them, how to worship, right? But number three, and I think this is the most important, we hear a sermon together, and on the ride home, they might ask, Mommy, Daddy, what did the pastor mean when he said so-and-so? Man, this opportunity to share more about to expound more on what the pastor had started and to give an answer. This is what we need to be equipped as evangelists as well. If you invite someone to a church service and they hear a sermon and afterwards they're in the car with you and ask you a question, you should be equipped. You should be equipped to expand on what the pastor said and give some answers for the hope that lies within you. So I would say, okay, you know, the invitational style has its blind spot, trying to pass the buck. But I say, if you're going to be invitational and invite somebody to church, just be ready to be able to give an answer after it's all over. Right. Don't pass the buck, because, you know, that will show that you have a conviction that's beyond just, you know, what I would call surface level belief, that your belief goes deep, that it goes farther than that. Right. It's deep. It's solid. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I would encourage anybody that has, you know, this idea that the invitational style is the way I want to go, It needs to be deeper than that, right? Yeah. I'm not against inviting people to church. Just be ready for the questions after you leave the church, right? And again, share the gospel, right? That's every Christian's call, right? Every Christian's call is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. You ready for
even if you just share the gospel tract, right? I mean, I was in a gas station talking to a dude, his name was Michael. Michael, I hope you're listening. Told him about the podcast. I said, hey, man, I want to give you a thank you card. Gospels. And I said, what we're thankful for is on the back. Would love for you to read it. I said, you got a church home? He said, no. I said, hey, man, our website's on that thank you card. We'd love to invite you to church too, man. Hear the God. So, and had to go. So it's not always you have the opportunity to spend 30 minutes with someone, but you can get them a gospel tract. and invite them to church. Or, you know, just again, just don't lean on that as your only go-to. Don't call evangelist. I'm just inviting people to church. That's not a bad thing. Yes, invite people to church, but let's share the gospel. Let's do it all.
That's good.
Right?
That's
do
good.
What we can do.
You know, on the trip, I didn't even mention that fact that I went to a conference this past weekend, but I'm
That's
gonna mention
right.
it. I'm gonna mention it now. I went to a conference down in Houston, at Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas, called the Truth and Love Conference, and the theme was convictions, truths we would die for. And I thought, man, it was a great conference. But there was a couple of restaurants that I went to. And, you know, Brian, I still, you know, you taught me something with that whole, hey, we're going to pray for our food. Is there anything that we can pray for you for? And you know, there was like 11 of us at one table having lunch on Saturday. And I don't think that little Mexican food place thought that they were going to have such a busy day. But it was in walking distance from the church. And man, when we all walked in there, they were like, oh, no, what just happened today? They just got, you know, and it was great food. But Maria was our waitress. And when I asked her in Spanish, you know, what is there anything that we can pray for you for? You know, she said, my daughter passed away 3 months ago. And I'm going to tell you something. If a table didn't ever pray, you know, we left her a gospel tract, left her a good tip as well. Same thing happened the next morning at Denny's. So this was me by myself having breakfast. And I asked the waitress, her name was Dana, that was attending to me, what was the necklace around her neck about? And she's like, that's an image of my son who was killed about 3 years ago. And bullet, you know, with a gun, right? It was a violent death. And how are you doing, Dana? How are you? Right? Man, I'm going to be praying for you about that. I left her a thank you card, like you're talking about, right? So it's this whole thing. There's a plethora of ways to go. If you're going to be invitational, use a gospel track if you just don't find yourself in that space to be able to answer those questions. But I think that's why you want to go back through all the archives of Hearts for the Lost, the podcast, to equip yourself to be able to give that answer for the hope that lies within. All right, the last evangelistic style that we're going to talk about is the serving evangelistic style. And so this is most likely your dominant style if the following statement is best describes you. I see a need in people's lives that others often overlook. I find number two, I find fulfillment in helping others, often in behind the scenes ways. Number three, I would rather show love through actions than through words. Number four, I found that my quiet demonstrations of love and care sometimes help people open up and become more receptive to what I think. Number five, I think the world would be a better place if people would talk less and take more action on behalf of their friends and neighbors. And number six, I tend to be more practical and action-oriented than philosophical and idea-oriented. You know, Brian, I read this style and I believe... And this is the thing that it's going to get me in trouble, right? With every Christian out there that's listening to me, every Christian should be serving in some capacity in their church or whatever. I don't think that this is when I read this evangelistic style, I mean, maybe that's the way you think, but to be a Christian is a life of service. To be a Christian is a life of, you know, where can I serve my God? Right. I can't help but think as I read this about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. You know, man, they had arguments about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And the greatest was among them. And what did he do? Put on a towel and wash their feet. He served in a way that I can't imagine. And Peter was like, no, I can't. You know what? If I can't wash your feet, you can have no part of me, right? And think about that. I think that our service to others should be a characteristic that they look at and say, you know what? That's what I'll say about the Christians. They at least serve. They serve the communities. They serve the people around them. They try. You know, there's been all kinds of, if you're listening to us and don't know the history, the reason the hospitals exist is because of Christians. You know, you ever think about why it's called Methodist Church? I mean, Methodist Hospital or you know, I don't know the different names of different hospitals out there. When St. Paul's is one that we have here.
Lutherans have a lot of hospitals, yeah.
There are Christian organizations that were behind the hospitals to begin with. And so I would say there's something behind serving in ways that are behind the scenes that are it's just in our nature to serve the people, and it should be a given that you have a serving style. It is another means. And I earlier we were talking about an opportunity I had to go serve food to homeless people. Hey, before they got to eat, guess what happened? A preacher jumped on the top on this truck bed and said, "Hey, before we get in line to eat, I just want to share some good news with you guys." Right, here comes the gospel, right? The good news of Jesus Christ. Because, hey, I'm serving. Give me an opportunity just to tell you about my Savior, right? And I think this is a good, I just think it's a given, Brian. I look at this evangelistic style, and the only problem I have with the article is they kind of tend to put that on your personality. And I'm saying, I don't care who you were before you came to know Christ, who you are after you meet Christ is a servant, right? Because we want to emulate Christ. And there's a simple thing. Let me just say this, right? It is a simple thing to vacuum the floor at your church. But it's huge in the eyes of others, right? I would just say this. I have spent some time vacuuming and sweeping in my church, and I enjoyed it because I was not serving. At that point, I'm serving God. I want to make this place nice, clean for my family that is going to come worship together. I think it matters, right? So, Brian, what do you think about this serving style?
So, yeah, man, I got some. All right, so I think of, because they were talking about, you know, don't want to talk too much, or I want, you know, found out my quiet demonstrations more than what I talk or whatever. Sometimes, because I do, my head went straight to James, right? James 1, and actually James 1:1. James, a servant, right? Or doulos, a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And then you go down to 19, you know, this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So yes, we are supposed to listen, right? And slow to speak. So I get that part. But man, it's like, so us building a bunch of houses and giving a bunch of food and giving, yes, we're supposed to help. That is clear in scripture. But without the gospel, without a proclamation of the good, it would be like this, bro. And I heard this a long time ago. It stuck with me for so long. It would, think about this, man. It's like if I gave you a 3-day hotel stay and pick a city in the United States, whatever, right? And that 3-day hotel stay, right? You get there on Friday morning and you're like, you know what? I'm going to go to Best Buy, man. I'm going to buy me a big old screen TV. I'm going to put some artwork on the walls of this hotel room. You know what? I don't like this living room furniture. I'm going to go bring in a lazy boy and I'm going to redecorate this hotel room all out for my 3-day stay, right? It's like, that's like us worrying about our little infinitesimal time on earth is like a 3-day hotel stay. And we're worried about making our hotel room look so perfect. They're like, man, we got this eternity to deal with, right? So yes, are we supposed to serve them with food or their needs or build houses or whatever, fill in the blank. But if you're doing it without the gospel and without the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope, the only hope, the only mediator for eternal life, it's like us going and trying to fix up their hotel room for 3-day stay. It's like, what's the point? So it should follow up. Now, should we serve them? Yes. Should we share the gospel? Yes. Just like you serve that waitress, right? With praying for her, caring about her life and praying for her, was serving her at that moment emotionally, but you gave her the gospel in a tract or in a message, right? So it's that it's both and. But man, we got to stop worrying about fixing up the hotel room for a 3-day stay and say, you know, we've got a much bigger play here, and it's called eternity. And that's what I'm really concerned about. So, but again, now if we just go proclaim the gospel and we let the dude starve, I'm not saying that either. The gospel, you know, the Bible is clear that we are supposed to give our tunic, or we're supposed to help wherever we can help whoever asks of us, right? So I'm not saying that, but definitely just we just don't go feed to feed, man. We feed them the food, or give them water, the living water of Jesus Christ, and it's got to be backed with the gospel. But I see servant hearts. I mean, we've got some deacons in our church, bro, and elders that would just, and our pastors who just would serve, and they do serve families and sicknesses and just in ways that we don't even know. So I, like you said, you know, Christ came to serve, and you know, how he washed the feet, like you talked about. It's just, if we're going to be Christ-like, first will be last will be first. So we want to get in the back of the line. We want to help our brothers out, and we want to be that type of Christian. Because you talk about at work, if you're serving people, it's going to look different. You're just going to be different. I'm not saying only do that, but I'm saying just modeling, serving, and being encouraging. And I don't know you, bro, at your work or not, but like, I just don't cuss. The Lord took cussing out of my mouth when I came to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But man, I get friends of mine at work. Oh man, I'm sorry I said that curse word. I'm like, I didn't tell you not to say that. But like, you just not cussing will give that air of difference, right? You serving someone or doing something out of the norm will just show difference that will minister to people as well. So serving is huge, but it can't be the only thing. That's my point. Can't be serving without the gospel. Again, is just fixing up someone's hotel room for 3 days. We need to serve with the gospel, and then overly serve if you have to. But the gospel's got to be the big portion of it.
Yeah, you verbalized the blind spot, you know, by saying this is what the blind spot says. Sometimes you just do the actions, i.e., the deeds, without verbalizing the gospel, i.e., the words, right? And I think that it's important, like you said, to share the good news. It can't just be, let me do all these serving parts, because sometimes you'll overlook the important part, right? And the important part being getting them ready for eternity. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I'm at, you may be also. So Jesus is busy preparing a place right now, still in service to us, right? Still to this day, right? Preparing places for us to come and dwell with him. But he, you know, he gave us the gospel. He gave us the good news. He gave us everything that we need. And I think that this is a, to me, this is not evangelistic style. I'm disagreeing with calling it an evangelistic style. I'm just thinking that every Christian should be of service, but never, like you said, forget to give the good news. It's important, right? Don't just do the deeds. Don't just dress up the hotel room. Boy, it would be silly for me to, you know, I just had a 3-day stay. There's no way I was going to bring his furniture to that place. So I'm glad you brought up that analogy. It makes a lot of sense. Why would you do that for a 3-day stay? And we are here for a short amount of time on this earth. Brian, that kind of completes the evangelistic styles that we had going there. I think this was good for us to go through these different types. I think you know, the disclaimer that we had in the first one, we got to say that, you know, if you take these two parts of this and listen to anything, I think every single one of these styles that we gave is something you can incorporate at some time or some place. I don't think it's you know you fit this personality type, so this is the only way that you can ever ever evangelize. You know, expand into all six, right? Do part of all six when the time is right for that particular evangelistic style. So really quickly, I'm just going to go and give us the six evangelistic styles one more time: direct, intellectual, testimonial, interpersonal, invitational, and serving. And as we've gone through these, I think that I've come to this place. You can be any one of those in your evangelism when you need to be. Because all of this is really dependent on God and his sovereignty and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you in your evangelistic efforts. We can do nothing apart from God. Apart from him, we are nothing. And there is nothing we can do without him. So as he leads and guides, he's going to tell you when to be direct, when it's a time to be intellectual, when it's a time to use your testimony, right? All these things you can use, I believe, in the different scenarios that God brings you into. Remember, I used to always just, bring this up, pray that prayer, lead me to it, and I'll do it. Open a door, and I'll walk through it. And that might look different in different locations using these evangelistic styles. And I do not think that it has to do with your personality. I think if you're an evangelist, you can use any one of the six to try to bring the gospel. We should try to use every means necessary to bring the gospel to bear on other people's lives. And that would be my thoughts on that. Brian, you got any last thoughts on?
My last thought is I really don't like putting any of those labels on it, but if you're going to have to call yourself something, call yourself an ambassador for Christ. Be that style. Be an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So if you're going to be anything, be an ambassador for Christ.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right. So don't forget, we have sponsors, right?
We do. do not forget about trackplanet.com. Andy and the boys, everybody putting that together, does amazing stuff. Track Planet does regular gospel tracks. Man, I've done the ticket. I love the ticket. One side's a ticket to hell, one's a ticket to heaven. Great gospel tract. And I use that at the football games, actually, with the scalp the tickets, like, hey, every week they're like, hey man, you got a ticket? I go, hey, I got one. I give them that and they laugh, but they keep it. Yeah, they got a ticket, gospel tracks. Our thank you card is an official standard gospel track. Now, you don't have to order it customized. It's a gospel. You can get it in bulk, cheaper, still use the H4TL, for the discount code, but just a standard thank you card is there now. Thank you for putting that on. And you can also customize it with your church website. Costs a little bit more, but that's a one-off. You gotta do that. But yeah, so you got those two options there, and tons of other gospel tracks out there, branded tracks. Jimmy even wrote his own track on the judgment. I love it. So you can write your own. If it's a gospel track, it will get graded. But make sure that it is. But so trackplanet.com, New Heart Treasures, not just doing great things. By McCreary's daughter Hannah, putting out the merch for the ladies, with journals and coffee mugs and tops and just a whole bunch of gospel gear. So give them a check, newhearttreasures.com. So that's what we got there, man. How about you?
Well, I want to talk about our website, heartsforthelost.com. Please go out to the website, find out more about us. Again, this podcast is just an extension of that ministry. That ministry is the bigger part of what we want to do, what God has called us to do, which is to teach evangelism. If you listen to the intro, you'll know that we are all about equipping, educating, and what's the other, what's the, wait, equip, educate, and excite.
Right.
people about evangelism. And so that is our mission, is to get people, you know, going on evangelism. And so we want to do that. Go to the website, check out who we are, go to the About Us page, go find out what Hearts for the Lost is all about. And you know, there's a place there to put information about your church. Talk to your elders about bringing us out to your church so that we might have a weekend. You know, we can discuss the details, you know, once we get together with y'all. Again, this is geared toward the local church, the small local church that might not have the means to bring in big names. We're more than willing to come out to us to a place where we, you know, find a small congregation. If you feel like it's too small, you know, get together with the church down the road that have the same type of beliefs that are Bible based. But you know, we want this to be through and through the eldership of the local church. We want them to be involved in us coming out. But you know, get that going. Put the information in there. This is, of course, at no cost to the local church. We want to make it that way because we want it to be something that helps the local church. And if you know, most local small churches wouldn't really have the means, and we don't want to put that burden on them as well. So we would also say that you know, on the flip side of that, at the website you'll find a donate button. If you want to give to good ministry, this is a good ministry that will spend the dollars wisely and trying to get the word out to the world. So click the donate button, become a one-time partner, a weekly partner, a monthly partner. And you know, however you want to do that, we'll, you know, hit the donate button. We use that money so that we might be able to go and teach evangelism in the local church, as I was saying a minute ago. And so that's I wanted to share about the website, Brian. And how can they reach us? Facebook, social media, you
Yeah,
got
so Twitter or Twix, as we call it, at Los Jimmy is Jimmy, or at Sola Cast. What is Sola underscore Cast? Is
Solo
your other
underscore cast,
podcast? Yeah,
yeah,
Sola underscore
podcast.
Cast. Fernando in the Windmill, I love it. At B and then NINDE is my Twix, and then we have eight at H4TL. The podcast is our podcast Twix handle. We got Facebook, both of us, our names. We have pages. I also have Hearts for the Lost, its own page. We have a Hearts for the Lost private evangelism group, which finally went over 300 folks in there, sharing tips, tricks, stuff, whatever. Anything evangelism can go on in there. So that's a good thing. And then just the evangelism ministry at our local church is growing. God is just doing some amazing things. So we're getting this blueprint put together. So if you want to talk to Jimmy and I about, you know, how to start an evangelism ministry at your church, we don't have it all worked out, but we've got some blueprint things. We've been mentored by Grace Community Church out in LA, John MacArthur's church, with Mike Riccardi leads that. They've been doing it for about 10 years. Sheldon Coe, one of his right-hand men, and I've been working together, and he's given me some tips on some things. So we're really trying to put together a really nice blueprint to just plant evangelism ministries, not just come to an event, which we love doing, but man, we can help you start and get equipped to start an evangelism ministry at your church and pour into you that way too. So really excited for 2024, bro. We got some churches calling now. Got some G3 folks that reached out, started the initial talk. So we got some good things. We'll be in Tullahoma, Tennessee, with the Open Theology Conference coming up in February. I'm going to ShepCon in March. You're going to G3 in May. We might be going to G3 in October in Oklahoma. So a lot of good things coming up, and just, man, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So let's go out and train and equip and get folks excited to step up and step out and be ambassadors for Christ. So I'm excited, man. A lot of good things coming.
Sounds good, brother. And well, what else do we have, Brian? What to
Yeah,
say?
have a heart and go share your faith.